And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, Aria. My name is Liz. This is Tom. And this is RBLR Sports. Things are pretty good today. Tom, how are you?
Liz, I'm doing all right. It's been a long break. I understand you and James had a show while I was gone. I've been off for like 3 weeks from the pod. It feels weird. My microphone was buried under two layers of soil. I had to excavate it. I found some dinosaur bones in there and everything. It was pretty gnarly, but I did find the remnants of an ancient civilization, so I can't be that upset about it. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Mine wasn't quite as educational, but that's good. we didn't miss last week, and that was both of our faults because we partied too hard on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. If you felt okay to podcast on January 1st, that's a moral failing on your part. You didn't have enough fun with your friends, okay?
Yeah, that was the first New Year's Eve I've stayed out that late in quite some time. So that was a good time, but I apologize that we didn't really get a show out. But honestly, not that much happened. Like, a lot more happened today than in the last week, honestly.
We have more news in the last 2 or 3 days than in the past 2 weeks. It was our fault we didn't do a show last week, but it was also kind of the team's fault too, right?
Yeah, there we go. There, yeah, it's a 75-25 at least
partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had a lot of news.
Do we want to start with the good news or the bad news?
Let's start with the bad news.
Okay. So, we did have a couple departures leaving the Tampa Bay area, unfortunately. Some of them are like already signed to other clubs, which good for them. I'm glad that they're still working and they found places to go. They weren't just released and then being like, now what?
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them are with other clubs already.
Oh, that's true. Yes. So we have Jesmyn Enrique Abundis, who played either 2 minutes or 8 minutes, depending on who you ask. Yeah. We're not really sure which one is right. We're going to go with 2 minutes because I think that's what the league says.
It's funnier too.
So she has moved to Club Diawana, has already played a couple times.
They only won one match, but she made the starting 11. This was a couple days ago. You can find their games on Fox Deportes or on Fubo if you have them. And also on YouTube because Liga MX Femenil doesn't really crack down on illegal streaming that hard, surprisingly. Keep an eye on Club Tijuana on the show list, because she apparently went from playing not at all for the Tampa Bay Sun to being an immediate starter for them, which is interesting on a lot of different levels, I'd say.
I'm wondering if for whatever reason she just didn't fit DSB's style of play. Just didn't work. Didn't mesh. Yeah, I don't know. But immediately does over at Club Tijuana, and more power to her.
Yeah, I can't say for certain. Maybe it's a cultural thing where she fits in a little bit better with the team from her home country. But I did tune into that game, but with about 20-25 minutes left in the game, and she'd already been subbed out, which makes sense for someone who hadn't had that much matches played, that many minutes played recently. But to get down there to a good league, a league that I do like to compare the Super League to, Liga MX, and to just slot right in at that right back spot, that's impressive. That's really good. So if they're going to keep doing that, you sign somebody and you play them immediately, you got plans for them. So I'd like to definitely see what Tijuana wants to keep doing for the rest of their season. That's kind of the beautiful thing about having a local team now, is it gives you more reason to pay attention to the rest of the sport, the whole ecosystem of the league, of everything in general around the world, in Mexico and Europe, because you got more connection to it. It means a little bit more now. That's what I'm seeing. So best of luck down there in Tijuana. I'm rooting for him now.
Yeah. And then speaking of other leagues that are way out there, Kozal moves to FC Zurich. in Switzerland.
Yeah.
That's gotta be wild for her wardrobe.
From Tampa to Zurich. Yeah, that's a culture shock more than Tampa to Tijuana, I'd say. That's also a really big move, though. I don't know exactly what the Swiss league is like or what Zurich's situation is at the moment, but I can say that Zurich is the most successful club historically in Swiss women's soccer. So to go from here to there, that's a great sign. That's exactly, I think, where you want the Super League to be at. There's been some talk recently about like the Opta ratings for teams around the world, where you know how they rate all the teams on their same scale all around the world. And we're, you know, the NWSL teams are coming in right at the top, as you would expect them to. And we're right about the high 200s, which, you know, we're nominally a first division, but I think everybody knows the score at this point. So to be matching up with teams like AZ Alkmaar, who have the same Opta rating as the Sun, teams like Galatasaray, to have one of your goalies leave the team and join the best team in Switzerland, it does show that the Super League has a niche in world soccer. We're fitting into it, and it's not, you know, a lowly one by any means. We're a player in the world game, and the league has only been around for, we've only been playing games, I should say, for a matter of months. So it's a good sign that we're getting some American players some exposure in a way they wouldn't have otherwise. So best of luck to Kozal. I'm a big Zurich fan now. I'm a big Tijuana fan. I don't like that they're leaving, but I like that they're going to good places.
Yeah, for sure. I am glad that their agents were like, nope, we're going to keep you going. We got places for you to be, for sure. No getting stale.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't. They're great. I can't actually speak for Jasmine. I apologize. But I know for Kozal, phenomenal keeper. She was great. We have the Sunrise system that our super producers created. Did have Kozal as the overall better keeper.
Yeah. She was super highly rated by Eureka's system, which has proven to be pretty accurate time and time again. For a young computer model.
Yeah,
ridiculously for a young computer model, which is impressive. But it remains to be seen. I don't think Zurich has played a game since Kozal's gotten over there. But it's, like I said, it's one of those things you have to start paying attention to now. Now that you got a local team, you got alumni playing for different leagues, different teams all around the world. You know, we're a part of it. It feels good to finally be connected to global soccer.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
Like I know we've got the Rowdies, but as a D2 men's team in America, the most you're really doing is producing players that go to MLS, you know, guys like Jordan Farr to DC and stuff like that. With women's soccer in America, with the amount of players we have, with the amount of opportunities that there weren't until Super League started, there's a lot more room for us to be a big player, especially with the way our season is set up, where we can have this transfer market in the winter to join teams in Europe like Zurich. It makes it really interesting where Europeans are going to start to know the name Tampa Bay Sun sooner than I think they may have realized.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign for the team. I haven't seen a lot of transfer movement from the rest of the league, but granted, I still don't follow them as much as I follow the Sun, obviously. But just the fact that the Sun are doing what we're doing with the two players that have left us is a good sign for us and for the league as a whole. It's a good proof of concept. It's good to say, you know, how often, time and time again, Liz, did the league officials and the team officials tell us at the little like round robin meetings all around the area, like, oh, we want to be a part of this. We want to align with the world market, and to have somebody go to Zurich, the biggest team in Switzerland, to have somebody go to Tijuana and immediately start her first game. It shows it's exactly what the league is. There's no reason. There was a couple weeks there, you remember, where people were a little bit worried about like, oh, what is the Super League exactly? And it is brand new. It's we've never had a second first division women's league. We've never had a healthy division one league like the NWSL is, much less a second healthy one. So what it means wasn't clear. And I think it's becoming clear now, and it's only going to get better. I have the utmost faith and confidence in what the league's doing as far as its mission.
I do not have the utmost confidence in DSP for getting rid of Stouty, and I'm sad.
She didn't get.
I didn't know how else to lead into that. I did not have to know how else to lead into that. I'm sad.
Yeah, we were both putting off the big one. No, she didn't get rid of Stouty. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Super producer Eureka. Coach DSP did make it clear that Stouty is, her words, quote unquote, always welcome back.
Well, she should come back.
We didn't get it's not our decision.
Okay, well, Stouty, if you're listening, please come back. We love you.
Talia Stouty, I am still a big
Stouty. I mean, no, don't listen to Tom. Tom was saying before the show that he's done with you. No, yeah, now he's calling it back.
Shut up. I never said that.
Yeah, okay.
All right. My reasons for saying that will become clear shortly, okay? But As long as we're talking about it, it's not DSP's decision. It's not our decision that Talia Stouty isn't here anymore, okay?
Yeah, I am hoping that she might come back. If she doesn't, I hope that means that she gets more minutes at the Courage, for sure.
Yes.
Just want to see her playing. She's so good. I love her. Yeah.
She's a rookie. It makes sense that they dealt her out to us to get some pro experience. But I mean, you're breaking the first law of being a soccer fan, Liz. You fell in love with Aloni.
I did it again.
You can't do that.
I do it every year. I did it with, I can't think of his
you
name.
Know this.
Because with the Rowdies.
Oh, Ryan Spalding. We love Ryan Spalding. He's Aloni.
Spalding. And then, what was the other one that I really liked? He went to the Red Bulls, I think.
We've had too many Red Bulls guys. Oh, I can't.
That's right.
Jake LaCava.
Yes, LaCava. Thank you. Yeah. I fell in love with LaCava. We love him.
Yeah. We love Talia Stouty. We love Ryan Spalding. We love Jake LaCava. We have to stop falling in love with our one night flings, okay? It's not that simple.
I can't help it.
Damian Rivera. That's right. From New England as well. Yeah. But yeah, it's. You can't. They're good for a reason, because they're coming from a good club.
So yeah.
You have to access. You have to, you know, you got to let them go. If you love Talia Stouty, you have to let her fly.
No, Taylor Swift does not have a song about falling in love with Alone on your soccer team.
She should.
I know. I agree.
Yeah.
Give me a week. I'll come back in a week and I'll have transformed a song. We'll get there.
Yeah. If soccer was bigger in America, Taylor Swift would be dating Travis Kelce, the Sporting Kansas City player, and she would know a lot about soccer.
She still wouldn't be dating Sporting Kansas City.
She's learning football. Okay. She's learning football a lot. I see it. I got faith.
No, because she had the chance. Sorry. She had the chance. There's a song, London Boy. She had the chance to say soccer. She said rugby.
She's an American. She likes that.
I will hold that against her.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. When we have her on the show, we'll bring that up.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. So why have you forgotten all about Talia Stouty?
Thank you. I've forgotten all about Talia Stouty because we've replaced her already.
Yeah, pretty quickly, actually. Like two days.
Pretty quickly.
I mean, I'm sure it was already in the works, but like the announcements were like 2 days apart.
Yeah. We found someone younger. We found someone faster. What's funny? I'm being serious right now.
The younger really got me because, like, she's already a baby.
They're both really young. It's a young league. Okay? Yeah. We did find someone. I think she's younger at least. Yeah, she's a year younger. We found someone younger. We found someone faster. Arguably, we found someone more aggressive. We found out of the University of Nebraska Lincoln, Jordan Zade. I'm a big Zade guy now. All right, look, if you guys go back, you will know I was a big Natalia Stoudy fan, okay? I was a Stoudy head from day one. I've used that word more often than anyone on the planet ever has. No one has said Stoudy head as much as I have, okay? So I have a leg to stand on. I got a thing for right backs. I love a good right back. So we have replaced Talia with Jordan Zade. She's a rookie right back out of the University of Nebraska. She's from Olathe, Kansas in the Kansas City metro area. I've been watching her highlights literally all day, pretty much. Let me give you the quick rundown. She played for the KC Fusion in her youth and the DeSoto High School Wildcats. Multiple time, four-year captain, I want to say, actually, at her high school. Multiple time high school award winner for Kansas City players in the area. She got recruited out of KC Fusion as a forward slash midfielder. Joined the Cornhuskers in Nebraska as a midfielder. Played there in her freshman year as a midfielder. Became a hybrid defender midfielder sophomore year. Got moved to pure defense right back her junior and senior seasons. And you can see a lot of that sort of offensive-mindedness in her gameplay. She is very aggressive with the ball. She will make that overlap, but even more than she will make the overlap, like I know Paige really likes to make that overlap, and that's a good part of her arsenal. Almendares, of course. Jordan will not make the overlap so much as she will take the defender on one-on-one. She has a great touch with the outside of her right boot. She has incredible acceleration. She is one of the faster players I've ever seen in 10 yards. So she'll get somebody off balance, blow by them, and look for an aggressive searching ball into the midfield, into the center of the pitch. Not the midfield, that's a different part. Into the center of the pitch. She can do it whipping it in low and fast. She can do it with a big arching ball. I've seen a lot out of her. She scored a goal against Hope Heisey, the now Spokane goalie, when Hope was with Arizona and she was with Nebraska, by just sort of looping one in big and finding it. It took a little deflection, but she scored goals from the midfield. She got 20 assists in her career, and I want to say that's off of 74 games played, 67 games started, 20 assists. Nothing to shake her head at. Nebraska is a good team, not a great team. So you're not seeing a lot of finishing as you would if she, you know, played for a UNC or a Stanford or NC State or something, where, you know, if she had better support from the striker position, you would see a lot more of those converted. Because you look at her assist compilation on YouTube, you look at her highlights, and there's a lot of assists that go through. And there's a lot of similar balls that could be assists that just aren't finished. So she's a pro-ready player by every measure, with the speed, with the intelligence. You can see it on the throw-ins, especially with her, is where the IQ kind of comes in for me. She'll fake and throw it to the open space where somebody's running. She's 100% pro-ready as a rookie. The biggest thing about the throw-ins is that man, you don't see this often, and we're going to love it. She does the flip throw, y'all. We love a flip throw. She gets 30, 35 yards on a flip throw, which is incredible. She'll be, you know, she'll take it from the bottom of the center circle on the sideline and get that thing into the box. That is literally game-changing. She fits into the way that the Tampa Bay Sun want to play in a way that is almost stupid. You know, you couldn't find a better player coming out of college to fit into what Coach DSB wants to do with a right back. She fits the mold and the game plan so incredibly. To be aggressive, to take players on one-on-one from that backline position, bring the ball up herself, do everything she can to get all the way as close to the box as you can and serve in a big ball to one of our finishers. Tosh Flint, Jade Moore, Sydney DeCello are all going to love having Jordan Zane on the field with her. I I could not have picked a better player if you had given me like a football manager database of players to look through for the Tampa Bay Sun at right back. That was always going to be our biggest concern, was the defense, was the right back position with Talia Stoudy leaving. And with the first signing of 2025 for any Super League team, not just us, we went out and nailed it, an absolute bullseye. Of course, it doesn't mean anything until play happens on the field, but on paper, this is exactly what we want. She's smart. She's aggressive. She's strong. She shrugs players off. She's a multiple-time academic all-conference player, which is speaks to the type of character and intelligence you want in a pro. It's not something you don't just want somebody who's very good on the pitch. When it comes to being a professional soccer player, you need that extra mental element. And she proves she's got that. So I could not be happier about the signing of Jordan Zaid right now. She checks all the boxes for me.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'm big. I'm big on her.
Yeah, your 5-minute rant on her. Yeah. No, I mean you're absolutely correct. Honestly, while you were talking, I was like, oh, she's a midfielder, defensive midfielder. Oh yeah, we do kind of need that. I'm sorry. Defensive right back, excuse me, yep. But was working like as a defensive words are hard today. Defender, midfielder. There yeah. we go. We got words.
Yeah. It's not even that she's a defensive midfielder. She's an offensive defender. She got brought back. You see it a lot in players in any sport where they have a position that they play, like say forward in soccer, because they're just really good at soccer in high school. And so, if you're really good at soccer, you should probably be scoring goals. That's easy in high school. But when you get up to, say, club ball or college, the game changes for you. You read it a little differently. The game treats you differently. And so she finally found a niche, I think, at that right back spot that is really dangerous. She's an exciting player to watch. That's why I can rant about her for 5 minutes. You know, if she was just a solid hand, if she was good, I'd be like, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm glad. But no, I actually looked at her. I've seen her play. I'm not just looking at the stats, because the stats may tell you one thing about her. I did see somebody on the Blue Skies saying, oh, she's got a ghastly, if you're watching this, you know who you are. She has a ghastly forward pass completion percentage. And that's on paper, she absolutely does. On the computer, she has a bad percentage of completed forward passes. But that's
who is she passing to?
Yes, who is she passing to? She's passing.
Yeah,
to
that's not fair. You're gonna judge her on one thing, and you're gonna make it the one thing that she can't control. Technically,
yeah, you're gonna notice that. Like, come on, who is she passing to? It's not a great team in Nebraska. It's not
I am a dumb dumb, and even I can tell that's a dumb thing to use.
Yeah, soccer is a game of moments. In soccer, a game is won on one goal, two goals.
Yeah.
5 goals scored in the game is a really exciting soccer game. So you don't want somebody on that right back position, especially for Tampa Bay Sun with the way we play. You don't want somebody playing safe passes, dribbling the ball and playing a little, 2-yard forward pass to somebody in the midfield and dropping
back. Yeah, like, let's pass it back to the goalie. Yay.
Yeah. And whether it be forward completed passes or backward completed passes, overall completed passes, I want somebody who makes their own moments because it's a game of moments. You don't want somebody playing safe. And she's not going to play it safe that often. She's going to make something happen or not. And if she doesn't, she's good enough defensively to get back and fix her mistakes. But I'll take those mistakes on the off chance that she burns somebody and serves in an assist for one of our fucking forwards. I love it. I have burned our 1F bomb because I'm that excited about Jordan Zane. She is so good. She deserves it.
Yep, there's Eureka. 1.
Yep, you did it. Yeah, couldn't be happier. Liz, you feeling good about Jordan Zane? Have I sold you on her?
I'm less skeptical. I know she's going to be great because I know DSP is only going to bring in the best of the best. She has a good eye for it. We can tell because the players that we are leaving are still good players. They just didn't quite work with our particular style of play, our lineup, whatever. It's not that they were bad players by any means. There was nothing about them that I said, oh, my God, I'm so glad they're gone. So I know DSP is only going to bring in excellence, so I'm not worried about that. I'm excited to see what she does. I'm just sad because I did like Talia Stouty.
Yes. Again, you fell in love with Loni. It was one thing if you got on the Kozol train real big, but Orcus already taken that spot in your heart, so I get it.
Yeah. She was just so chill the first game.
Yeah.
There was no hope for Kellett either at that point. Like it was over.
Yeah. Oh, Kellett's great though. I love a goalie who doesn't like soccer as much as she's good at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the coolest things in the world is being better at something than you care about being good at it. And Kellett nails that.
She does.
Oh, one extra little cool thing. As if I haven't said enough about Jordan Zaid. Her birthday is January 18th, so it's coming up real soon.
Yes, it is. It's also the same birthday as one of my friends, so that's kind of cool. I will definitely remember to put out a birthday post for her.
There you go. Liz, what else is going on in the world with Tampa Bay Sun?
So a bunch of the players went on vacation, and because I'm a creeper, I'm on their Instagrams and watching. So I wrote it all down. Yugi's still in Japan. She's having a great time. She's very good at bowling.
Good.
Because of course she is. She's good at everything.
Exactly.
She posted like today and she's like, why am I good at every sport I play? And then like bowls a strike. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Come
humble
on,
brag.
Really?
Tosh went to the Keys with her wife. They're adorable in every way imaginable. They're so cute. Like they had their like little like I think it was her had like literally had like the coconut drink and everything. Like it was very picturesque. They did the Keys correctly. They did it like a true tourist. I love it.
Hey, that's the big thing about the Sun. We're bringing people to Florida and they're doing it right.
Yes. Orcus was hanging out in Delray. Hawk's daughter was in Palm Beach. Not sure why. Maybe they got family there. Who knows?
Orcus is from the South, so she's going to go somewhere weird in Florida, Delray Beach or whatever. And Hawk's daughter, she's from she went to USF, so she's seen a lot of Florida. She knows what she likes.
Yeah. Ashley Clark did a lot. She went to Las Vegas. And then she had recently tagged, she was in North Carolina, which I believe is where her family is.
Okay.
Jade Moore went to Jamaica, which, oh my goodness, that sounds like so much fun. Good for her. Yeah. she has to recharge her shithousery meter.
Yeah. Learn a little something from the Jamaicans down there too, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
Picking up on CONCACAF, you know?
Yeah. Kellett was back in the locker room, I think, as of either today or yesterday. She had one of her sponsors left some stuff in her locker. That was super cute. Hannah Keen was also headed home. She was up in Maine, so she was probably freezing her butt off, and she's going to come down here and be like, it's so warm.
Yeah.
And that's all the players I stalked recently.
Okay. Pretty funny. We just called out Lauren Kellett for not liking soccer that much, and she's like the first back in the locker room.
Yeah. Oh, technically. Okay. So technically, the coaches were the first back in the locker room, because I'm assuming that's just who DSP is as a person, and that's who her fellow coaches are. Because they were definitely back in the locker room. Like, what's today? Today is Tuesday. I think last week I saw a post.
Okay. Yeah. But this past Monday was the first day of the league. Let players come back to their teams. There was a rule about that. So, but I'd be willing to bet Coach Denise has like slept in the facility before.
not the Sun facility. Maybe the USF one.
Maybe the USF.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, she'll get there.
Yeah.
Not to mention her husband's the USF coach now too. So like. I don't know. All the more reason for either of them to be at either place.
Yeah. What would you like to go to? We want to go to the Rowdy Sun Conflicts?
Yeah, let's keep talking about Tampa Bay before we talk about the rest of the country, I guess, right?
That does make sense.
Yeah, I like
that. So, the USL Championship schedule came out, which, side note, holy crap, did the Rowdies get a raw dog deal on that? Oh my God, that is the worst schedule I've ever seen in my life.
I like it. What do you mean?
There's like six games in a row?
Yeah, that are away.
Yeah, but but it's like clumps of games that are like home, away, and like instead of like, I liked it when it was like every other or something like that. Nice and, because like, I know Elling is still getting fixed, and I know that that's because of that. What about the rest of the season? What's their excuse for the rest of the season?
They keep adding teams. You got to have games. It gets nasty.
But they like clumped it so that there's like a whole bunch of home and then a whole bunch of away instead of having like.
Look, the reason there's, I don't know if it's the reason, but my reason and my knocking, we have a bunch of away games, is all those away games are in like July. I think we have one July home game. We're playing away from Florida in the hottest part of the year. That's a good thing for, I don't care about the team. I don't care about the players. That's a good thing for me as a fan. I don't have to be in LA in, you know, 98 degree weather in July. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't remember what writer it was because my dad has told me this 100 times, more than that, actually. But there was some writer and he wrote that everywhere the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, except at LA, where it is 3 miles away.
Yeah.
And that's accurate, yes.
Yeah, yeah. If you remember the first game of the sun season back at the end of August. Yeah.
I got heat stroke.
Exactly. Why would you want a Rowdy's home game in July?
I got heat stroke. We were dry heaving on the side of the highway. It was not fun. Yeah.
I don't want the sun to play a home game until September, much less the Rowdy's in July. Come on.
This is true. All right. We're not here to talk about the Rowdy's. There's a whole other podcast for that. One of the R's means.
Well, we'll talk about them if they talk about us a little bit. All right.
Okay. That's fair. But we do have a couple of home away conflicts. In my opinion, it only counts when we're both home. So there's only two.
Fair. Yeah.
So in my opinion, the only two that actually matters is I had to remember what months are. April 12th. I don't remember what the number of the months are.
Yeah. April.
Four is April.
Yeah. Four letters in it. APRL.
Okay, so where the Rowdies play Loudoun, which,
I don't care about Loudoun.
Yeah, I don't know. We're playing Lexington. It's more fun to go watch the sun make them into glue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have to say, this one is a little tempting because I do love any excuse to heckle Enzo Martinez because I hate that guy.
Yeah.
So on May 3rd, the Rowdies are playing Birmingham, where we are playing Dallas. Dallas is a fun team to play and fun to watch. But I do like to heckle Enzo Martinez.
Hey, as much as we all like to heckle Enzo Martinez from Birmingham, don't we like to heckle Amber Brooks from Dallas, too?
Ooh, good point. We don't like her.
We don't. She hurt Carly in the first game.
She did. She did. Mm-hmm.
And look, my big thing is, it's an early season Rowdies game. I mean, May, not that early anymore, but it's an early season Rowdies game against a playoff push for the Sun, you know?
Yeah.
I'll always take a late season, regular season game over an early season game. Those are going to be tough, and we'll see the difference in the stands, I'm sure, for those two games. But who gives anything about Loudoun? Never an interesting game to watch. And then the Birmingham, I'm not going to say I totally get it if you go to the Rowdies game instead of the Sun game that day. But I understand, at least. I don't think less of you. I just think differently of you. Let's say that.
Yeah, what is it? Always forget, never forgive.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. So those are the two big ones, the two home conflicts. And then there are, of course, a couple others in that, in May, especially, it's kind of a tough month. The Sun are home twice when the Rowdies are away, which means, you know, come to the Sun game. That's March 15th, the day before my birthday. So I will hold it against you if you choose to watch Tampa Bay away to Tulsa instead of coming to watch the Sun play the Ascent. I will actively think less of you, legitimately.
Because let's be real, guys. In the heat wave, in that section of the stadium, one of us is going to have the Rowdies game open.
Yeah. We're all...
I will have a battery pack, probably for my phone, so that I can be streaming the Rowdies game as well. I have done this at multiple sporting events. I have
we'll
no
bring
shame.
A laptop.
I will watch all of the sporting events.
Every other person has PopMob open. Every other person has Twitter open. Somebody is probably actively streaming the game. So, like, you're not missing anything.
No. No, also, it's Tulsa. Like,
it's Tulsa. We don't care. Tulsa.
Yeah.
And then there are some Rowdies home games when the Sun are away at the same time. So go to those Rowdies games. Because somebody will have PopMob open. Somebody will be streaming the game on their phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom or I will be watching the game most likely. Yeah.
I've got 4 battery packs now, so I can do as much as I need to do.
Excellent.
April 26th, Rowdies versus Miami. That's a rivalry. That's mandatory attendance. And we're away to Spokane.
Not a rivalry.
It should be.
I know you made that whole document and every. They are not our rivals.
Miami thinks they're our rivals. We don't.
I don't acknowledge that. Them.
We don't.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, they'll send every. Miami's going to send every single fan they have up to LA. So we got to be
all
ready.
All one of them. All one JD of them.
All JD of them, yeah. Yeah.
And it's fine because he doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Hey, he listens to it sometimes on 2x speed to get through it.
Yeah, it's fair.
And he doesn't do the video either. It's too much.
Yeah, that's
fair. I get it. But yeah. And then May 10th, Rowdies versus Charleston home. That is a rivalry, right?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Yes. I hate Charleston. Yeah.
Yes. And that's Sun away to Lexington that same day. And again, we'll have the game on our phones. Come find us. Mm-hmm. And then the 17th, Rowdies versus Rhode Island. Not a rivalry, but they did win the Eastern Conference, so that's going to be a good game. And Sun away to Carolina, which will also be a good game. But again, we'll be watching both. We'll be doing double duty.
Yeah, unless I go up for that game again, we'll see.
Yeah, and you should, actually. Well, one more. Early in March, March 8th, we should do a little dual watch party. We got to work this out. We're just reading it now as I'm talking about it. But March 8th, Rowdies at Las Vegas. Sun at Fort Lauderdale. That's
really, we have to go to that game.
We got to go to that. That's not really an away game. Okay. Mm-hmm. So March 8th, everybody get to Fort Lauderdale. We'll watch the Rowdies game on the phones in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep. Actually, it'll be at Las Vegas, so that game will probably end when start when our game ends.
Oh, true. Yeah, so we can watch
conveniently.
Like,
yeah,
in the car, or bus, van, whatever on the way back.
Yeah, on the way back. Yeah, because that game will probably start at like 10, right? Or it might start at 9. What time zone is?
Yeah, it'll start right after we end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 hours.
I always forget if Nevada is mountain or Pacific.
Mount. It depends
on
the
same. I'm pretty sure it's mountain because I think it's in the same time zone as Utah.
Well, they're either 2 hours behind or 3 hours behind. It's either way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, enjoy watching the Rowdies beat the Las Vegas Lights while you're on the bus coming back from Fort Lauderdale, ideally.
Yes.
Rest of the league, right? We have more Super League going on.
Yeah, Brooklyn decided to show off because of who they are, I guess.
These guys.
We're gonna go to Italy.
Sick of them. Sick of them.
I mean, that's really cool, though. I'm not going to lie.
It's awesome. It's great for the team. It's great for – look, I'm doing the rah-rah cheerleader thing again. It's great for the team. It's great for the club. It's great for the league as a whole that we're sending a team overseas to participate in friendlies again. I don't care. All right, Brooklyn, knock it off. You're the best team in the league. We get it. Stop.
We get it. We get it.
Yeah. They're going to Italy for, what's that, a week at the end of January? But, yeah, I don't know. That'll be cool. I don't know the state of Italian women's soccer, so I'd love to learn a little bit about it vicariously through Brooklyn.
I hope all I know is go Roma. We like Roma.
I hope they play Roma and Roma shuts them out 10-0. That's our take on it.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the official stance. Man, but I hate it.
Cool.
I hate it. It is cool. It had to happen at some point that and we can kind of, there's two ways we could segue this actually, but there was always going to have to be some Super League teams playing more friendlies. We had the Dallas Barcelona thing earlier, which was cool for Dallas, even though they got blown out 6-0, I want to say, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, but it was good. It got eyes on the team. A lot of people showed up for the game. I saw in the Cotton Bowl, which is cool.
Yeah, and that was the match. Like, almost every player got minutes in some way, or basically, right?
Oh, yeah, they had children playing in that game. So, like,
they had, like, all three keepers came in. So that was kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point of an exhibition like that, you know? So that's cool. I like that. And I do like that Brooklyn's going overseas. I hope they, like, actively post about it. I want to know everything. Live stream a game, please. I'd love to see that.
Oh, my God. Yes. Links, please.
Yeah. But it's good, especially for the overall health of Brooklyn FC as a whole club, because they had to push their men's team off another year, right?
Yeah, they did.
And so that kind of raised some questions for people. I know people were a little worried about it. Like, you know, they're drawing bad attendance numbers in Manhattan with the women's team. They pushed the men's team back a year. What's going on? But let's be real. They're killing it in the Super League on the field. They're sending their team over to Italy to play. The academy team already played an international friendly in Brooklyn. They're doing everything right, and they just want to make sure they get the men's team right when it does happen. So I'm not as worried about Brooklyn as some other people are, you know? And the people that are worried just aren't following the Super League enough, or else they'd be more confident.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. The other thing about, let's segue right into the, let's keep high-fiving Brooklyn. As much as I hate to do it, they're my mortal enemies for taking Sydney Martinez. But speaking of Brooklyn goalies, Nico Purcell, who has been sharing a lot of the load with Sydney, she's a good U23 player. She is the only Super League player to have been called up to the women's national team futures camp, we're calling it.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you checked this out, Liz? You familiar with this? Have you heard about this?
I'm
doing my letterman right now.
I'm not.
Hey, have you heard about this? It's running concurrently with the senior women's national team senior camp. But it's a futures camp composed entirely of players who fall into the U23 category. We're not calling it a U23 camp. We're calling it a senior futures camp, which is not
the most U.S. soccer thing to do ever.
Yeah, basically. But I do like it because it kind of speaks to the philosophy of the new coach going forward. Where, you know, you come in, you got to evaluate this huge player pool that you have with America. And so she's not as familiar with the U23s, having just gotten here. So why not bring up a bunch of the best ones all at once and look at them while you're looking at your current crop of players? So it's a bunch of NWSL players, obviously. There's, I want to say, 13, 15 NWSL players, 10 or 12 college active players. And a lot of those college players are graduating seniors or juniors who are going to be hopefully in the Super League sooner rather than later, because there's not that many roster spots in the NWSL. And Nico Purcell is the lone actual active Super League representative. So you would maybe like to see a couple more players from Super League called up for that, but it is a young league. There's not as much to go on.
Oh, and you know, U.S. soccer fucking hates the Super League. Oh, I did it.
Yeah, so I think part of it is
as
that
soon as I
we're out of practice is what it is.
Yeah.
I think it should be one each, Eureka. All right, let's do that.
No.
But yeah, you think you would like to see a couple more, but you're right in that the structure of how U.S. soccer is based, it's a lot easier to get these women's college players called up than it is to get the Super League players, just based off the connections and the way the seasons are structured. I think it'll end up happening more. And I think part of that is going to be this Futures Camp is something to keep an eye on for everybody, but especially for us Super League fans, where those players who are not signed to an NWSL team may be more likely to join a Super League team than the NWSL, I might say, if I can be so bold. So it's a camp that's more interesting to me than the actual U.S. Women's National Team present camp. I like the Futures Camp. It's a new thing. It's a buzzword. It's goofy. But it's there for a reason, and I like the look of it. Remains to be seen how it plays out, but you can't be a Super League fan without enjoying wanting to see how things play out, because nothing has played out yet for us. We're still in our first season. We're here for the first.
Yeah. Speaking of the NWSL, for some reason, Denver got a bid.
Liz, how much did they pay for it?
$110 million.
Oh my God.
Denver. Okay.
Woo. Because the Rapids are doing so great.
Oh, man. All those MLS Cups, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
How many have they actually... Have they won any?
Rapids? I don't think so, no. And they're an OG team. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that
yeah
is
they
right.
deserve the bid over us. Good job.
Oh, they're the 2010 Cup champs. Okay. So the Rapids did win once. Oh, Eastern. Oh, no, that's right. Eastern Conference champs when they were doing the weird thing. Yeah, so the Colorado Rapids, famous Eastern Conference MLS champions from the eastern state of Colorado.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Good for them.
American soccer is weird.
Yeah. I mean, I have to hand it to the Switchbacks, but I'm pretty sure that's a different region. That's a different city.
Yeah, it's all this Colorado. There's one region.
And the only reason I have to hand it to the Switchbacks is because Tejada.
That's our boy.
Oh, wait, no. Isn't there a second Rowdy's player on there, too?
Switchbacks?
Isn't there two?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
don't do James and Carlos' job for them, okay? Stop talking.
My bad. Yeah,
them.
Sorry. Yeah. And then I'll just touch. It's old news, so I'm not going to touch on it a whole bunch. But like, even the Boston bid, like some of the stipulations, they paid so much money.
Yeah.
Some of the stipulations are like they can't have more than like two home matches a month.
Because the stadium they're in
is not that bad, but like, why is that a stipulation?
Yeah,
and that should not be in. Utah paid five? Well, I mean, it's Utah. They got what they paid for.
They might have gotten like a sweetheart deal for having been in the league too. I don't know, right?
Yeah, that's true. Because I think because also they weren't an expansion so much as weren't they? What team was Utah before?
They were the Royals. They were always the Royals.
Were they Kansas?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They were FC Casey.
Yeah, because most of the new teams are just old teams that have been moved. We just don't say that.
Yeah. Shout out to Houston Dynamo too.
It's
Bay FC was 53 mil, Boston was 53. How did we jump from 53 with Boston 2-3 months ago to 110 for Denver?
Stupid 50. All right. See, and 50 was a lot in like, what was this, 2015?
2 years.
Oh no, Stu Sternberg. Sorry. I got mixed up for a minute and I was thinking pre USL for some. I got Stu Sternberg and Bill Edwards mixed up in my head. I get people mixed up a lot. It's very common, listeners. I will mix up two random names just for no reason.
Stu, our current man.
Yes.
Yeah. So he'd been 50. When was our quote unquote NWSL bid going on? That was, had to be 2 or 3 years ago. 2 years, I want to say.
Before USL. So 2019.
2021.
It couldn't have been 2020 or 2021.
All right. 2019, we'll say. We don't know. We're not looking it up. That's your job, listener.
Yeah. We're not reporters.
Yeah, right. Come on. We're fans. From 50, I mean, it couldn't have been that much because Bay FC a couple years ago, Boston just now, both 53 million for it was 2022. See, I thought so. It was real recent.
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah. So 2022.
Okay, listeners, you can't see it, but right now my brain is just making the equivalent of that Windows error sound.
Yeah. The hamster wheel. Liz's hamster stopped running for a second.
It did, yeah.
The hamster in that hamster's brain stopped running too.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, no, super producer Eureka.
He's got those receipts.
Confirmed. Yeah. It was 2022. I apologize.
So 2022 was AFC and Tampa, 50 and 53 mil. Boston just last year, 53 mil.
Wow, we cheaped out by 3 million and we could have won.
Yeah, that was the difference maker. Those $3 million. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
We should have sold one more baseball player to the Yankees.
Dang it.
So yeah, that was it. And then all of a sudden it over doubled to 110.
Oh, it's almost like they started pumping way too much money into the league and overinflating the value.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder where we've seen that before.
Yeah.
Season ticket holder prices are now $700 MLS.
Yeah. Or the the big thing too is Ohio. Cleveland was one of the big cities looking to get that bid as well, competing with Denver for the NWSL. And you can kind of see it via the Haslams, the Columbus Crew owners. They're doing a game versus Miami, of course, for Messi, in Cleveland at the Brown Stadium, and they're charging exorbitant prices for that game in order to see Messi, of course. But that also goes to show the way the big leagues, the big money makers, the big money movers in American soccer want to gouge these markets when they get the opportunity. And whether it's by bringing a regular season game out of Columbus to Cleveland to gouge people to see Messi, or to gouge people to have top women's soccer in their city with Denver for 110 mil. It's ridiculous. If the Super League isn't on the phone right now with that Cleveland group, that Cincinnati group too, out of Ohio, to try and get them in for a fraction of $110 million to the Super League, it would be a misstep at the very least. If they join or not, it's one thing, but if we're not talking to them about joining the Super League, I'd be surprised, you know, because my God.
Oh yeah, it's a missed opportunity. Absolutely. Because clearly they want women's pro soccer. We got it. Let's deliver it.
Yeah. The whole bid in Cleveland was a stadium tied in with first division women's soccer. And then an MLS Next Pro men's team tacked on too as well. And it's not that often you see a women's team lead the bid with a men's team tacked on. It's usually the opposite.
Yeah.
So if they want that, we can provide first division. I say we, like I'm in the league office, you know.
No, we are. We have direct line to Amanda Vandevort.
Yeah, friend of the show, Amanda Vandevort. So yeah, if they want that, if Ohio wants women's soccer, we personally, Liz and I, can provide that.
Yes. 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 Please reach out to us, and then we will reach out to Amanda Vandervoort.
Yeah. Hit us up on all social medias, our Blue Sky, mostly Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook, I don't know what else, YouTube, Spotify.
Yes. Catch her in the heat wave drumline.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Send the mayor of Cleveland to Blake High School.
Yes, please. I love it. Big Jim.
Yep. Meet me at Big Jim, baby. Yeah, my New Year's resolution was to hit the gym more, and I mean Big Jim Stadium.
That's right. Tom, we didn't even have a game. We managed to talk for an hour.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes more. Let's real quick. We got one more thing. Can I do one more thing? Yes. We didn't even have a game. Nothing happened. It was barely any news. Good to see you. Mm-hmm. We talked about Brooklyn having friendlies. We talked about Dallas versus Barcelona. Okay. There is an opportunity come July of this year, July 2025. Circle it in whole entire month on your calendar. The NWSL has set us, they released their footprint for their schedule, which is.
Yeah, what is this? Their schedule footprint?
Yeah. Really funny.
Is that like the La Croix of a schedule? Like it tastes like a schedule. It looks like it's the concept of a schedule. Like what?
It's like if you waved a schedule at a glass of water.
Yeah. What? You just waved a calendar around.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm getting notes of footprint. So really good. So yeah, the footprint is out. And there is a noticeable gap in the footprint. The arch of the foot in the footprint is in the month of July, which, if you will remember from last year, the USL Super League started in August, which would imply that the USL Super League preseason would take place in July. If the NWSL, this is from their press release, during this break from the regular season, NWSL clubs will have the flexibility to compete in matches against other professional women's teams. They said that themselves, their words, not mine, not Super League's.
Okay.
So if that break, mid-season break for the NWSL, matches up with our preseason, we may finally get it. The thing we have all been hoping for, a Super League versus NWSL meaningless friendly game.
Hell yeah. I'll travel for that.
Right? We'll go to Orlando. They can come here. We'll go to Orlando. We can do it at Big Jim. We can do it at Exploria. I don't care. But give me Pride versus Sun, man. Come on.
It's not. It's Inter and Co. Stadium.
Oh, it is now?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. My bad. So, yeah.
It's had a lot of names.
Yeah. Orlando City Stadium, Inter and Co. There was another one, too. I don't know. Anyway.
It's Marta's Throne.
The house that Mart built.
Yeah, honestly, the house. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we're looking for.
That would be good. I hope that happens not only for us, but for all the other teams, so we can show what we're made of.
I mean, could you imagine Rain versus Spokane, Carolina Scent versus Courage?
The Rain were trash.
Yeah, Spokane might win that, actually.
They might tie it.
True. I mean,
let's not get too crazy here.
Yeah. It's just Spokane still. It's not, they were trash, but Spokane is. Anyway, we could see Dallas Trinity versus Houston Dash.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trash versus trash. No, trash versus pretty good. I'm kidding. Dallas. I don't care about Houston.
Dallas might win that one, actually.
Yeah.
Brooklyn versus Gotham. Could you imagine? Come on. That's a good one. That's really good.
That broke my brain a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
That poor hamster is tired.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Let's wrap it up. If you like us and you want to support us, you should go to shop.rblr.com and use the code HEATWAVE for 10% off. Order your shirt. I ordered a shirt. I should be waiting. I should have gotten that by now.
Don't say
that. Now that I think about it.
The shirts come on time. You don't have to wait for them.
Yeah, make sure you go buy a shirt. We have them for lots of local sports teams. Go check it out. That about wraps it up. That about wraps it up for today. Cool beans.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.